listening to the Paul McGuire Report. Wherever you are on planet Earth, wherever you are in America or any other continent, welcome to the Paul McGuire Report. Those of you that are listening, you're scattered all across the world. And yet, because of modern technology, because of the temporary open doors that we call the internet and social media, and because of other technologies, we, for a perhaps short season in time, have the ability to communicate to one another globally with, at this time, relatively little interference. Now, I deliberately use the words relatively little interference. I'm not saying with no interference, because anybody who speaks the truth is being persecuted, is being harassed, is being taken down, is being censored. And not only that, if you are endeavoring to communicate the truth on all kinds of levels, scientific, spiritual, economic, if you're endeavoring to communicate the truth, you are under all-out attack on multiple levels, because there are very powerful forces in this world, namely the deep state and the globalist elite, that do not want us to communicate the truth because they're afraid of the truth spreading. And why is that? Because ultimately, truth is contagious. Once people get a taste of truth, they want more and more and more. So what I want to talk about on today's program is to, number one, recognize the fact that this limited, finite door of opportunity in which you and I can communicate the truth, communicate the facts, communicate our opinions, even if those opinions stand upon the foundation of what is called a biblical worldview. That is, we are being blessed to enjoy a momentary season in time by which we can communicate the full spectrum of truth, talk about the full spectrum of truth with a relative amount of freedom. But anyone, even the most casual observer, knows for a fact that the time of our being able to communicate freely is like a ticking time bomb. If you are assuming, if you have made the assumption that you are going to be able to freely talk and communicate your ideas and belief systems in the future without paying an enormous penalty, including and up to imprisonment, death, incarceration, murder, torture, if you think it's just going to be smooth sailing and that you're going to be able to communicate the intense truths that you know and everybody's going to leave you alone, I don't know how else to say this to you, but if that is your assumption, your presumption, let me suggest to you that you are flat out crazy. And there is no scientific, no historical basis upon which you can believe that the few freedoms that you have now, that they will even be existent and operational in the near future. I think we should all agree, or I think we can all agree, that what is coming in the future, what is looming before us in the future, is primarily one thing. We are entering the time period of the greatest digital totalitarian state in the history of mankind. And this totalitarian state, their game plan is to steal, rob, and kill all of our freedoms, all of our independent thoughts, all of our private and personal belief systems. Digital totalitarianism, and this is something that you did not learn in school, so now it's an opportunity for you to learn it in the real world. Because whether you want to acknowledge it or not, you're going to have to face this in the real world one way or another. Nobody escapes it. And so what is going to happen is that you are going to find yourself, not because you're antagonistic, not because you're trying to be rebellious, but you're going to find yourself increasingly at odds with this totalitarian state, which seeks to rob you of your freedoms, you're going to find yourself increasingly at odds with this cybernetic, robotic, soulless machine upon which we are all being ruled with digital surveillance 24/7. And that in this time period, there is a very aggressive erosion and assault on our freedoms. That's not paranoia. That's simply the way it is. And so if we project out or we calculate out from the time period that we're in and step outside of the box and try to mathematically calculate where we're going to end up in the next 10, 20 years, I would suggest to you that on the basis of the current trends, that digital totalitarianism, the pervasive lack of freedoms, is essentially on autopilot. It's essentially a done deal to every person in the human race. None of us, none of us is going to be able to escape this secular juggernaut, which by its very existence, its brute force, its brute power, its organizational structure, its military structure, is going to use inevitably its brute force to conquer other men and women as fast as it can. It's going to conquer them by the sword, by laws, by the military. And in its movement outwards to conquer, it's going to gobble up all the opportunities that you have to live a free life that you can call your own. Hey, you know, to live a free life that you can call your own, to live a life where you can kind of say, this is my life, to live a life where you can kind of say, this is what I choose to believe, and this is what I'm going to believe. All of those factors are factors that indicate and measure whatever it is that you consider is your relative degree of freedom that you possess in this moment of time. So you and I are enjoying the blessings that the Pilgrims and Puritans seeded into our culture when the Pilgrims and Puritans escaped from Great Britain, King George. They suffered religious persecution. They suffered persecution for not being ardent members of the Church of England. They suffered persecution because of their spiritual war with those groups that were preaching legalism and those groups that were preaching a kind of distorted spiritual message, which was anti-freedom. And that's where we are today. So where does it take us? Where this takes us is to this place where we need to analyze the facts. The place that I'm talking about is at this place in time, the remnant church, and that simply means the percentage of the church which is left over, and the remnant church is the percentage of the church which is left over and perceives itself to be accurate followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the remnant church is whatever is left of that church which chooses to rule and reign planet Earth using the kingdom principles and using the authority that Jesus Christ has given them in Jesus Christ. Now, as we continue exploring these various dimensions, we come up with a methodology of discovery. What we come up with is all around us, as time goes on, all around us, we are constantly being exposed to an ever-increasing, non-yielding call it what you will, it's almost like a bunker mentality, where people are hunkered down in their bunkers for the purpose of escape, salvation, and hiding between the rocks and the land in a desperate plea for salvation. And again, that's where we are. So what this means is that over the last 70 years especially, there has been an inordinate amount of a kind of total exerted pressure that is being placed on the shoulders, the hearts, and the minds of all the true Christians that exist in our world, all the true Christians who are ardent followers of the Word of God, and ardent Christians who seek to serve Jesus Christ as their Lord. These are the Christians that are left. So what we have is, whatever this percentage of fervent Christians is, this remnant church, let's say hypothetically it represents, and I'm being generous here, but let's say hypothetically it represents 20% of the earth's population. And the primary function of the remnant church is that the remnant church has been called by God in the last days to light a burning, brilliant candle of the truth of God's word, the illumination of God's word, and the light of God's word into a dark world. That is the essential purpose of moving aggressively in the light towards the darkness. So we live in a time period where all kinds of disinformation, all kinds of distortion, all kinds of lies, all kinds of heresy, all kinds of false belief systems are coming at us with an ever-increasing acceleration. And our job is to face down that ever-increasing acceleration. Our job is to stand strong in the midst of the spiritual battle. Our job is to pray the Lord, seek His guidance and wisdom before we make a decision. And our job is to continually renew our supernatural relationship with Jesus Christ by going to the Lord in prayer, by coming boldly to the throne of grace through the blood of Jesus. And all in all, our total job as priests and kings of the remnant church is to, on a regular basis, as priests and kings of the remnant church, our job is to continually humble ourselves before God. Our job is to continually press into the things of God, continually to seek the face of God in the expectation that this will happen. And this is a joyous and liberating principle in truth. God says in His word, this liberating, dynamic, and exciting truth. God says in His word that we're blessed, we multiply to the degree that we seek His face and serve Him in an ever-increasing manner. So our job is to build on the intimacy, build on the fellowship, build on the practical ramifications of the intimate relationship we have with Jesus. And so that's our primary job. Now, as we move forward in this world, seeking God on a regular basis and asking God to reveal to us what our assignment is, what our job is, the Lord then will be faithful on a regular basis to open up all the hidden things of darkness, to open them up, and to open the doors wide for us to receive what could be described as a perpetual download of God's kingdom principles into the earth by first passing through and going into our body, soul, and spirit. And that's the assignment of the supernatural church of Jesus Christ, to continually function as a priest or priestess that goes back to and from the water supply and the food supply in a spirit of prayer and a spirit of holiness. And as we do that, we take on the difficulties, we take on the challenges of living at the end of the age. And so we are constantly recycling this ever-vital spiritual message. We're constantly recycling it and calling on God to infill us with the power of the Holy Spirit. So let me say that again. Our ministry, our job, is to continually call upon God on a continual basis and allow, through worship and faith, allow for God to fill us with the power of the Holy Spirit on a regular basis. And so we're continually coming before the throne room of God as priests and priestesses who are waiting upon God, listening for his instructions, obeying his commandments, so that we might function at the highest levels of performance and at the highest levels of faithfulness that he has called us to perform in since the beginning of the world. And that's not a long statement, but it's a powerful statement, a very powerful statement. So once again, our job is to lay down prostrate before the Lord, to humble ourselves before God, and in this place of humility before God, we are to continually revisit God over and over again, calling on his name over and over again, and allowing the Lord to supernaturally make and assemble us into absolutely everything he created us to be before the beginning of time. Now, I don't know about you, but that mission assignment, that command by God to fulfill our mission, that is a mind-blowing assignment. And just being aware of the fact that we have a mind-blowing assignment should ignite in us, should ignite in every aspect of our DNA. It should ignite the energies of the kingdom of God in every aspect of our human DNA. And so our only response could be to worship the Lord thy God continually and call upon his name and call upon what we need. And as we do that, we discover that the byproduct of this kind of relationship with Jesus, the byproduct is that we develop the capacity through constant use. We develop the capacity to continually go before God day after day and night after night. And as we do that, we build ourselves up in the most holy faith, and we build ourselves up in every dimension of life. This is the Paul McGuire Report. Be sure to visit paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us. And let's take back the land. You know, historically, God's people have had to come to the point where they have said, enough is enough. And at that point, they would draw a line in the sand, and they would use the heavenly and practical resources that God has given them. And they decided to rise in the power of the Holy Spirit, to use the wisdom of God. And under and through that anointing, they rose in the power of the Holy Spirit, and they collectively chose to take back the land just as it was when they seized it from God. So at a certain point in time, God makes the decision to seize back the land that the Jews and the Christians have pre-methodically stolen from the Jews and the Christians. And they do this by stealing back the land. Okay, you're listening to the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. Visit paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us. And we will be back in just a moment. All right, you're listening to the Paul McGuire Report. This is Paul McGuire. So the land and the term land in the Bible is used constantly from Genesis to Revelation. And first and foremost, you have the physical land of Israel, which, if you contrast the actual dimensions of the physical land of Israel with the physical dimensions of Israel that Israel is occupying today, you discover rather quickly that the physical dimensions of the actual land of Israel, which is what Israel is occupying today, is basically a fraction of the actual or real physical land of Israel. In other words, when you look at that entire geographic territory in the Middle East, including Jerusalem, and you trace it with a map, you discover that what land that Israel is occupying is, again, merely a fraction of the total landmass that God gave or God granted to the children of Israel, to the physical descendants of Abraham, through various covenants. And this goes way back in time. This isn't a recent development. So, for example, if you go way back in time, the physical land of Israel was promised in a covenant by God to the children of Israel, to the physical descendants of Abraham. And when you look at the map of present-day Israel, they are only occupying, at the present moment, they're only occupying a fraction of the landmass that God gave them, that they're entitled to, that God granted to them in a covenant relationship written down in the Old Testament. So, this goes back thousands and thousands of years. Now, you have many other nations in the Middle East who claim that God or Allah or whoever gave them the physical land of Israel, gave them that territory. But if that was true, there would be archaeological evidence, there would be theological evidence, and there would be historical evidence that reinforces that claim. So when we go all the way back, for example, to the historical account of Joshua and Caleb in the Old Testament, we see that God orders Joshua and Caleb to penetrate the barriers of the physical land of Israel and to go into the physical land of Israel and to occupy the physical land of Israel until the return of Jesus Christ. And at that time, Jesus Christ will give to the inhabitants of the physical land of Israel the entirety, the full portion, the complete landmass that is due to them contractually. And you say, well, who made up the contract? Well, this is where it's going to require either a jump into idiocy and foolishness or a jump into a deeper understanding of the Word of God. Now, if we're going to take the approach, which I think is the appropriate approach, of embracing a deeper understanding of the Word of God, what we come up with is the fact that God told Joshua and Caleb and soldiers to go with them to invade or to spy out the land of Israel and give God a report of whether or not they thought, from a military standpoint, the conquest of this land of Israel, that the conquest was doable. It was something that they could feasibly achieve. So Joshua and Caleb sneak into the physical land of Israel. And first you see that there's a military war going on in the physical realm. You see that there's a war with soldiers and arrows and physical landmass. And then you see that the physical land of Israel, in order for Joshua and Caleb to invade that land and actually possess it, they're going to have to learn how to be victorious or to be overcomers in what can only be described as psychological warfare or psyops. So Joshua and Caleb go in or sneak in or infiltrate into the physical land of Israel. and then they begin to employ psyops or psychological operations, which allows them to finish the job victoriously. So Joshua and Caleb invade the physical land of Israel, and here is where the very modern, sophisticated, scientific, military discipline or military warfare known as psyops or psychological operations begins to take place. The first thing that happens is that Joshua and Caleb begin to, with their physical perception ability, in other words, their ability to see with their eyes, hear with their ears, smell the tactile senses, which are the physical senses, they amass all of their physical weaponry that makes them strong soldiers. And then number two is, after organizing their physical weaponry, they employ what can be described as high-level psyops or high-level physical warfare, where they engage the enemies who just happen to be the giants of Canaan. The giants in the land were the giants of Canaan, and they were the byproduct of the interspecies mating between the physical descendants of Israel and the byproduct of the illicit intercourse between the female physical descendants of Israel and the giants in the land. Now, the giants in the land, they were the byproduct of the physical relationships that were occurring between the physical descendants of Israel and the giants, the physical giants in the land. And when they interbred or when they mated with one another, the female human species, they got pregnant due to their physical relationships with the fallen angel and demonic and Nephilim Rephaim DNA or genetic code. So the mating of the physical descendants of this interspecies breeding that went on between the physical descendants of Israel and the physical descendants of the human females that had fallen angel DNA in them, when they mated and the fallen angel DNA connected to the DNA of the Nephilim and the Rephaim and the other fallen angels, that meant that the human females ultimately produced, as a byproduct of their physical intimacy, they produced a race that was that produced an interspecies breeding that occurred between the physical descendants of Israel and the physical descendants of the fallen angels mating with human women. So the byproduct was that on a DNA or genetic level, the physical descendants of Abraham, the physical descendants of the fallen angels, were a hybrid mixture or a hybrid combination of fallen angel DNA and fallen female human DNA. And so that was the mixture of authentically viable and real human beings who possessed both human DNA and fallen angel DNA. And when they authentically mated with the fallen angels, there was the interspecies breeding between the fallen female DNA and the fallen angel DNA. So they were a hybrid species. They were part Nephilim, Rephaim, fallen angel, and they were part human being DNA. So they were a hybrid mixture. They were neither 100% fallen angel DNA, and neither were they 100% fallen female human DNA. They were a combination of both. So as such, being a combination of both genetic pools, so to speak. Being a combination of both genetic pools, they became these beings, these entities with demonic DNA that were neither human beings or fallen angels. They were an odd combination of both. And so at that time, the human race was dwindling down to the point of non-existence. And this happened several times throughout human history, where the percentage, the numerical percentage of human beings, females, who successfully mated with fallen angel women who did not possess any authentically human female DNA whatsoever. So that means they were 100% authentically non-human female DNA. And as 100% authentical non-human DNA, they could no longer be classified any longer as 100% female human DNA. They could no longer be classified as 100% human female DNA. The new classification that they had to receive was that they were 100% a hybrid mixture of human female DNA and human female interbreeding DNA. So they were an odd combination of both genetic codes. Now, why is that important? It is one of the most important subjects and teachings in the Bible. Why? Because, as we've said many times on the Paul McGuire Report, the only people, male and female, that have the possibility of becoming saved, the only people, the only human beings that have the possibility of becoming saved are those human beings whose DNA is 100% human. So their genetic code has to be 100% human DNA, because that's the only way that they can qualify for being designated or categorized as 100% human DNA. If you do not have 100% human DNA, then you are somebody's offspring, but you do not come from the DNA lineage or the genetic code of God. You come from the lineage, the DNA code of a mixture of fallen angel DNA with human DNA. And if that is the case in terms of your genetic DNA identity, it means that you are no longer classified as being 100% human or 100% non-human. If you're non-human, it's because your DNA code has been corrupted by the fallen angel DNA. Once a human being's DNA has been corrupted by the fallen angel DNA, they can no longer be classified as 100% authentic human beings. And that means any human living being whose DNA is not 100% pure, in terms of this human being must have 100% pure human DNA. If they do not, they cannot be classified as 100% human in their DNA. And as such, any entity, any being that is born cannot be classified or categorized as being 100% human unless their DNA is 100% human DNA. Now, they are a living entity, but they're not a living entity that is a byproduct of the mating between human being DNA and fallen angel DNA. And God makes it quite clear over and over again in the scripture, God makes it quite clear that only human being DNA, or that which can be categorized as human being DNA, only human being DNA qualifies for entrance into heaven. Only those beings and those entities that possess 100% human fallen angel DNA, 100% of those have the possibility of placing their faith in Christ. And once they place their faith in Christ, they then have the possibility of becoming saved, because their faith gives them the ability to be cleansed of all their sins, to be saved, to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, to live live in all eternity with Jesus Christ. But this open door is only available to those human beings who possess 100% human DNA. Anybody else who falls short of that goal does not have 100% human DNA. And this is a very serious thing, because when you go back to the beginning of time, God created Adam and Eve in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, both male and female. This is God's law of genetics, where God is telling us that it is only those beings and entities that have 100% human DNA, it's only those entities that qualify for the possibility of being saved by faith through the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, this is imperative to understand and imperative to have a revelation of, because any other attempt to bypass the laws of God, any other attempt to do an end run around the laws of God, does not allow that kind of physical intimacy to produce an entity or a being that has 100% human DNA or 100% fallen angel DNA. The only entities or individuals that have 100% human DNA are those entities which have a combination of human DNA and fallen angel DNA. Okay, you're listening to the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. Be sure to visit paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us. And we will be back in just a moment to talk about the prophetic future of mankind and where we are going and what the rules are for how we get there. You're listening to the Paul McGuire Report. Be sure to visit paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us. Okay, once again, you are listening to the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. Okay, so let's simplify this. Let's make it really, really simple. And let's just spell it out in a simple way. So I'm going to attempt to do that, and it's going to take a very short period of time. The bottom line is this: God is in an all-out war with Lucifer or Satan. Lucifer or Satan was and is the highest ranking angel, who was given all kinds of incredible supernatural powers and authority. Yet Lucifer or Satan lusted after God's position. Lucifer or Satan, they were not being, well, they're one. So let's just call Lucifer and Satan Lucifer. Lucifer wanted to be God. And so the only way he could be God, because in fact he was not God, the only way he could be God was to lead a all-out bloody revolution against God and God's angels and God's people. Lucifer's game plan was to become God by igniting a coup d'etat or a revolution, with the end game being overthrowing the throne room of God, overthrowing God's authority, God's government, overthrowing God's ruling structure, and attempting to undermine in every way conceivable the rule and reign of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So that, in its basic simplicity, is what this whole thing is all about. Now, Satan is a long-term thinker and planner. Satan has developed this plan over thousands of years. So in Satan's game plan, in Satan's Luciferian military strategy, he seeks to incite man and the fallen angels to lead an all-out revolution against God with this specific agenda and this specific endgame in mind. Satan knows full well that unless a human being has 100% human DNA and can be categorized as being 100% having the DNA code of God, Satan knows full well that that human being cannot enter the kingdom of heaven, cannot have their sins forgiven, cannot be granted eternal life, cannot be born again. Why? Because according to God's rules in the kingdom of God, in order for a man or a woman to be authentically born again, they first must be authentically human. They have to have 100% human DNA. Any deviation from 100% human DNA means that they are not in actuality 100% real, genuine, and authentic human beings. They are counterfeits, just like counterfeit dollar bills. Counterfeit dollar bills cannot be saved. Counterfeit dollar bills cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Counterfeit dollar bills cannot exercise their faith in Jesus Christ and pray the sinner's prayer and invite Christ into their life and become born again. The only type of human beings that can be born again and enter the kingdom of heaven and receive eternal life and have their sins forgiven, the only human beings that can do that are those human beings that have 100% pure and authentic human DNA. Anything less than 100% authentic human DNA disqualifies you, or whoever it is, it disqualifies you from using your faith and asking Christ to forgive you of your sins. It disqualifies you from repenting of your sins and inviting Jesus Christ into your life. And it disqualifies you from being cleansed by the blood by faith and then asking God to come into your life, to forgive you of all of your sins, and then asking God through the blood of Jesus, you invite him to cleanse you of all your sins, and then you invite him to make you born again by regenerating your inner man or woman by the Spirit of God. That's it. That's the whole thing in a nutshell. So in this highly strategic war between God and man and God and Satan, and those that are saved and those that are unsaved, in this highly strategic war, there are several important unbendable elements. And here's what some of them are. If you want to really get into heaven, you have to really become born again. The only way to become born again is to invite Christ into your life, and only then can you be saved. Really, really simple. So the critical factor that must be obeyed is the ability for you to be saved is totally contingent upon your having the DNA of God in your biological, chemical, and brain type person. If you are not created in the image of God, and if you do not possess true human DNA, you are a counterfeit human being. And you may look and act like a human being, but when push comes to shove, you are a non-human human being. You can't be saved. You can't enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, Satan knows this. So in this great war, and that's what we're in right now, make no mistake about it, it's nothing less. That's why I wrote my book, The Greatest Battle for the Hearts and Minds of Mankind in the History of the World. And that's why I wrote Power from On High. Make no mistake about it. Right now, at this moment, we are indeed in the greatest battle for the hearts and minds of mankind in the history of the world. It's an all-out, multidimensional spiritual war. And when the war is over, you're going to have all the counterfeit human beings pretending to be saved, but they will be exposed. And you will have all the people that are acting as if they're saved. They're faking like they're saved, and they're going around telling people that they are saved. But when you look at their lives up close, conspicuously, you don't see the fruit of the Holy Spirit, and you don't see hardly any evidence for them being saved. They claim to be saved, but they're not saved. And the reason they cannot be saved, and this is the essential truth that we all must master, the reason they cannot be saved is because in order to be saved, you must, by faith, have 100% human DNA, and you must invite Jesus Christ into your life by faith. You must ask to be cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ by faith. And then you invite Christ into your inner man or inner woman by faith. You're regenerated by the Spirit of God, and you are saved. And when you're saved, the Spirit of God comes inside you. And when you're saved, once you're saved, once you're authentically born again, you cannot ask for the same thing twice. I mean, once you're born again, you're born again. You don't have to come back over and over and pray the same prayer over and over again. God heard you the first time. So you're authentically saved. Now, Satan totally understands all the ramifications regarding this. Satan understands that in this war that is raging between himself and God, the demons and the angels, and the saved and the unsaved, Satan understands that in order to win this great spiritual war, he must make sure that God no longer has the ability to bring people into heaven with him, that God no longer has the ability to win people to himself. So what is it that Satan can do that essentially slam dunks home the truth that the only way to be saved is to bring God right smack into the middle of your life? How do you take that step where that guarantee is made to you by God? Well, this is what you have to do, and we all have to do it. We must each come to the place where the number one thing we want to accomplish is we want to come to the place where we definitely invite Christ into our lives by faith. Once we're saved by faith and Jesus has made us born again, we don't have to keep repeating that exact same prayer over and over and over again. You pray it once and it's done. So Satan understands that the way he wins the ultimate victory over God is Satan has to radically stop the inflow of salvations, the inflow of souls being won by Jesus Christ. Satan has to throw on the brakes of this kingdom operation. Satan must insert himself in between you, others, and the saving God, or Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Savior. And the way that Jesus Christ inserts himself in between you and God is that he throws himself into the great eternal engines. He throws himself in the engine like an angry mechanic might throw a monkey wrench into the engines of eternity. So Satan throws a monkey wrench into the plans of Satan, and all of a sudden you hear that ripping up of the machinery, that ripping up of giant levers and pulleys and the engine parts, because the engine parts no longer function. All you hear is the grinding of gears and the grinding of the basic car parts that make the car accelerate and turn to the left or to the right. So Satan steps in there, throws a monkey wrench into the whole deal, and now Satan accomplishes his highest level objective. Satan is in a full-on attempt to block people from getting saved. So what Satan does is he slams the brakes on all the people who are attempting to come to Jesus Christ and get saved. The way Satan throws the brakes on that operation is Satan deliberately prevents people from entering heaven and accessing heaven. The way that Satan blocks the flow of people entering into heaven is that Satan, first of all, recognizes that what is of the most important to Jesus Christ is that there is a continual inflow of salvations, that there's a continual inflow of men and women getting convicted by God and then deciding to invite Christ into their life by faith. This can never let up. There has to be a continual 24-hour inflow of the number of salvations. So Satan knows that, and he organizes himself and the fallen angels to throw up a series of roadblocks that prevent God's angels and God's people and God from using his people to win people to Jesus Christ. He ends that operation. And all of a sudden, the brakes come to a screeching halt, and God has to stop winning people to Jesus Christ. God has to stop encouraging people to invite Christ into their lives. And the entire salvation machine, if you will, for lack of better words, the entire salvation machine ends. It stops. And it stops because God stops extending his faith. God stops extending his favor into the decision-making places where God's people, by faith, God opens up their ears and they can hear God for the first time. God moves with his power on many individuals, and God supernaturally brings these individuals into a place of reception, into a place of openness, where for the first time in their lives, they can actually hear the voice of God speaking to them in a still small voice. They can actually hear the voice of God exhorting them to come to Christ and receive Christ into their lives. And so, as a consequence, across the globe, millions and millions of people are being saved by faith. Now, again, this is all important to God because it's all important to Satan. It's all important to God because this is the way that God has designed for millions and millions of people to come to the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. This is the way that God has set things up so that it's almost like a line. People get in a line as a short wait. They come to Christ. They admit their sins. They ask for forgiveness of their sins. And then they ask Christ to come into their lives. And this process goes on eternally. And the result is that millions and millions of people end up coming to the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And so this process of winning millions and millions of people to Jesus, this process is one of the most powerful supernatural weapons unleashed by God into this fallen world. Because it's an unstoppable mechanism for opening up the doors and hearts of men and women to allow them to become saved. And now, God invests himself heavily in this process. God pours all his energy, his finances, his single-mindedness. He all focuses it in on this mass salvation process. And it's miraculous, and it conclusively becomes a powerful sign of the last days, and it becomes a powerful sign of the last day's soul harvest. And again, as a result, millions and millions of people become saved. And this, in and of itself, becomes one of the greatest miracles of mass salvation on earth. When people see this begin to take shape, when people see this begin to go into action, they are beyond themselves. They are beyond their ability to believe what is happening. Their minds are blown because they're watching God work at a level of efficiency, and God work at a level of the miraculous that they have never, ever seen before. They're stunned. And so God anoints and energizes every man and every woman who chooses to partake in this spiritual warfare miracle, where the doors are open, but countless numbers of people are coming to Christ, repenting of their sins, and inviting Christ into their lives. This is awesome beyond awesome. Okay, you're listening to the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. Be sure to visit paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us, and we will be back in just a moment. Okay, you're listening to the Paul McGuire Report. So the battle plan of Satan is to do everything that he can do to make sure that the people who are calling themselves authentic, viable human beings are in fact not, they're absolutely not authentic and viable human beings. They've been tampered with. Their DNA is altered. They are no longer genetically, they're no longer in their DNA level. They are no longer 100% authentic human beings. They're counterfeit human beings. As a result of the fact that they're counterfeit human beings, they cannot be saved. They cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. They cannot be used by God to save others. And essentially, they've been relegated to a second-class status in terms of being authentically saved. Now, this battle for souls continues unto the end of the age. So what do you think are some of the weapons the devil and the powers of darkness use to prevent people from being saved, to prevent people from being authentically, genuinely saved, and genetically saved? What weapons might the devil use to block the flow of salvations? What weapons potentially would the devil be using to block the flow of salvations on earth? Well, let's explore a few. This contemporary war on transhumanism is perhaps the greatest threat in our lifetime, and maybe the greatest threat in numerous lifetimes all added together. This transhumanist revolution perhaps is the greatest threat of numerous lifetimes combined, because the goal, the weaponized spiritual battle goal of distorting and confusing what is human DNA and what is not human DNA, that is the operational game plan of Satan for this hour. He is, on a DNA level, authentically and genetically confusing exactly what it is that people are. And Satan knows that any human being that possesses non-human DNA cannot be authentically saved, cannot be have their sins forgiven, and cannot invite Jesus Christ to live in their life. Because remember, over and over, the Bible teaches this in 100 different ways. Salvation by faith is only available and only open to those people who are authentically and genetically saved. It is not something that is open to just anybody. In order for you to be authentically saved, you must first invite Christ into your life, invite the real Christ into your life, and invite the Spirit of God, who is Jesus Christ, into your life to make you born again. So, what is the next phase of Satan's endgame? Well, the next phase of Satan's endgame is that he marshals all of his resources, and if we look at the primary weaponization of Satan's spiritual weapons right now, transhumanism would have to be among the top three primary humanistic weapons employed by Satan to shut down the flows of salvation. So it's a very dangerous weapon, and this is how it works. The goal of transhumanism is to use science and technology and biochemicals and genetic engineering. It's to use all those science and technologies to create a brand new counterfeit race of counterfeit men and women that are not truly human 100%. And because they're not truly human on a genetic level 100%, they no longer can lead people or win people to Jesus Christ. Because only somebody who has the Spirit of God in them, only somebody who's moving in the Spirit of God, only somebody like that can be authentically saved or authentically born again. So that's one part of the equation. But this goal of turning all human beings into transhumanist creations cannot be underestimated. The goal of Satan is to tweak the DNA of men and women so that he uses genetic engineering on a microscopic level, and via genetic engineering, he reboots, he remanufactures, he alters the God-given human plan for God-made DNA. Now, this may not seem like a lot, but it's everything. This is everything, because this implies the destruction of the human integrity of the human race. I'll say it again. This is everything, because this implies the human destruction of the human race through genetic engineering and genetic manipulation. And it is a highly offensive and deadly weapon. So here's how that would play out. Transhumanism is when scientists and biologists use chemicals, computers, electromagnetic frequencies, and they use an assortment of highly advanced technologies. They combine the usage of these highly advanced technologies into a single working technology that has the power and has the capability of radically undoing man's natural human DNA and replacing man's natural human DNA with a completely unnatural counterfeit DNA. And so transhumanism is when men and women, basically scientists, attempt to play God, and then they conduct their own genetic engineering experiments, and they secretly, in secret laboratories, they reprogram human DNA, they re-engineer human DNA, they manipulate human DNA, all for the purpose of ending the humanness of the so-called human being that they're manipulating and changing the DNA upon. Because they know, once again, that if somebody is not authentically human, they're not going to be listen to the Holy Spirit. They're not going to obey the Holy Spirit, and they're going to end up manufacturing a counterfeit human being that does not have 100% authentic DNA. Now, a counterfeit human being may look like a regular human being, but when you put the DNA under an electron microscope of a counterfeit human being, you see that the counterfeit human being under a microscope doesn't look at all like the real DNA, because it's, again, it's only real and genuine DNA that has the power to reprogram a person's DNA from being human DNA, and then they can reprogram that DNA into turning into or transforming non-human DNA. And this is a sample of just how dangerous it is. So what is Satan's game plan? Satan wants to stop and prevent and block billions of people from entering the kingdom of God. His number one plan in blocking billions of people from entering the kingdom of God is to transform, manipulate, and change their human DNA and alter it into some form of counterfeit DNA, or alter it into some form of non-human DNA. Once a human being has allowed their DNA to be manipulated or converted into non-human DNA, they no longer are authentically human. Once a person goes through that radical transformation and they're no longer authentically human, then they can be manipulated and controlled externally. And once they can be controlled and manipulated externally, they have the power to be total counterfeits. They look human, they talk like humans, they act like humans. But when you examine their core DNA code and their core genetic code, you discover, with a certain amount of shock, you discover that these people who call themselves humans are no longer human anymore. And this is the result of that travesty of action. The horrific result is now you have women who have authentic human female DNA, so they're actually human women, or you have human men with authentic female human DNA in them. Okay? So both the males and the females have authentic human DNA. Now, one would think that's good, but if they were to impregnate, if a female was to have a physical relationship, and a human female had a physical relationship with a non-human DNA, Nephilim, Rephium, or some kind of other counterfeit human entity, that product of interspecies breeding, that product of counterfeit DNA mixture, would produce a totally counterfeit and a totally non-human DNA life form. It might look real, but it's no longer authentically human. And when a life form is no longer authentically human, and they no longer have authentically human DNA, they now can be used by Satan, used by the globalist elite, to impregnate men and women who claim to have authentic human DNA, but in reality, these men and women have counterfeit human DNA. And again, anyone who has counterfeit human DNA, anyone who doesn't have the real thing in terms of authentically human DNA, anybody who does not have the real thing cannot impregnate somebody of the opposite sex who is 100% human. It's impossible. Well, yeah, you can impregnate them, but the baby that is born through your union will not be a baby that has 100% authentic human DNA. And on the female side, if she gets pregnant by a Nephilim or a Rephium who has non-human DNA, she cannot get pregnant with a real DNA, a real genetically authentic human being. She can only give birth to a counterfeit entity. And here's the critical part. This is where we've been going the whole edition of the Paul McGuire Report. Men and women who give birth to babies who they themselves do not have 100% human DNA, but they have counterfeit human DNA inside of them, they are no longer 100% authentic human DNA. And as such, they are imposters. They are counterfeit human beings. And as such, they cannot reproduce. And in their reproduction, they no longer have the ability of producing babies, little boys, little girls. They are no longer capable of reproducing human beings, little boys, little girls, that have 100% human authentic DNA. All they can produce is a genetic counterfeit of non-human DNA. And this is exactly what Satan wants, because according to the laws of God, this is the critical point that we've been driving towards during the entire program. According to the Word of God, the only beings that can enter heaven, the only people that can enter heaven, the only living entities that can enter heaven are the living entities that contain 100% human being DNA or 100% human RNA or a 100% human genetic code. Because unless you have a 100% human genetic code, unless you have a 100% human DNA code, then you cannot reproduce and produce babies that are 100% authentically human. Those babies are counterfeit babies. They are not 100% human beings. They are imitations. They are counterfeits. And Satan knows that. And so the whole world may be fooled. The parents may be fooled. The individual may be fooled. But the bottom line is that unless you have 100% human DNA, you are spreading counterfeit human DNA seed. You are spreading 100% counterfeit human DNA materials that are not fully human. Now, according to the law of God, if your reproduction consists of non-human DNA, then you are not allowed to be saved by faith through the blood of Jesus Christ. You are not allowed to enter the kingdom of heaven and get the gift of eternal life unless you have 100% human DNA. You cannot repent before God and ask God for forgiveness of your sins, and you cannot be cleansed of your sins unless you have 100% human DNA. So only those people that have 100% human DNA can actually be saved, can actually have their sins forgiven, and can actually be born again. All the others fit into the template of being a counterfeit entity. And counterfeit entities are those, they may appear to be biologically human, but those entities are in actuality non-human entities. And as non-human entities, they can have any kind of entity living inside them. And by that I mean they can be, in effect, like the creatures in the movie The Exorcist. They are products of the illicit intercourse between a human male and a human female. But according to God's word, the byproduct is not the reproduction of a human being, but the reproduction of a non-human being. And this is a very grave and serious problem, because right now you have the leaders of the Great Reset, the leaders of the human race, using all their money and power and manipulative skills to push mankind over the edge and to promote non-human DNA on a level that is so off the wall, a level that is so out there that it's difficult, if not impossible, to comprehend. Okay, so how do we sum this all up? We are in, right now, the greatest battle for the hearts and minds of mankind in the history of the world. The front lines of this war is the fact that Satan or Lucifer and the fallen angels are working 24/7 to manufacture entities, creatures, and living beings that are composed of non-human DNA. Non-human DNA. And you and I, in one way or another, are often complicit in this moral crime before God. So the only thing that we can do to get out of the mess that we created for ourselves, the only thing that we can do is admit to God in repentance that we are guilty of engaging in the illicit ability and attempt to make ourselves counterfeit human beings with counterfeit human DNA. And so we need to specifically repent of that sin, ask God to forgive us with his blood, and then ask God to make us born again and then ask God to fill us with the power of His Holy Spirit. If we do those things, and I'm talking about all of them, then it may well be that God will hear our prayer from heaven. And when God says to us, "Behold, I will make all things new," well, "Behold, I will make all things new" is applicable to the very situation that we've outlined for you. "Behold," the Lord says to you and me, "behold, we will make all things new." And so we act upon that and we move forward upon that. God bless you. This is Paul McGuire. Be sure to visit paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us. Remember, Satan's primary strategy in the last days, because it appeals to the flesh of man, is to occupy until he comes. And when we occupy, the primary form of occupation is to, through the power of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, is to win people to Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. God bless you. This is Paul McGuire. Visit paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us. And together, let us win as many people to Jesus Christ as we possibly can and spread this word far and wide to function as a warning to God's people and others of the dangers of violating the law and word of God when it comes to what the Bible calls interspecies breeding. God bless you. This is Paul McGuire. Visit paulmcguire.us.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com. VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.